Yeah.
At first, when they started talking about measuring the way that they spoke, the speed that they spoke, and that's going to determine the city, I was like, there's no way that this is actually data that could be measured this way. Like, how does the rate at which someone speaks affect the way that the city performs? I was like, I thought that that was, like, such an interesting way to measure that.
And I like the guy from Liberia. The people walk in Liberia very slowly, so I was thinking, is it just a place that's not really busy? Is that why they walk slow? And then people in Dublin take about, 10 seconds to cross the road, and I'm like, where are they going, you know?
I feel like humans are always looking for an easier way to do something. With what we were given, like, let's say natural land, they're always trying to use their brain to think, okay, well, how do I make this better, and how do I make this easier for myself? And I feel like
we could argue that
ease, if we use that as our term, that is human nature, right? Because systems look for efficiency. That's how they continue their own perpetuation. But I think there's
so if we go back to your idea, cities are about ease. I would like to get from here to there. There's a body of water below me. It'd be really great to have a bridge. There's a bridge. How easy? And then we ask, how did I get to enjoy that ease? Somebody had to do some really hard things that are by no means easy.
For them, they can feel like, I built this or I did this for the city or for the other people. But it's like a personal satisfaction for them, but no one else would ever know, because the person they're building the bridge for, like, it's called the Brooklyn Bridge. That's what people know. They don't know who built it or, you know. Like
the beginning of the podcast started from, this musician, Skip, coming from Ohio, then going to New York, and the scene where he sees the fog, it's like, oh, everything makes sense now for him, he had that ding, this is, I'm part of New York now, so he was a stranger, and he's like, this is confusing to me, but then it's all just tranquil now. As a college student, here in Bloomington is the same thing for me, I came here, I don't know, this place is kind of weird. And then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, Kirkwood, this is my home now. So,
did you get the moment of the transcendental sublime on Kirkwood? Good for you.
Wow. We have 6 different perspectives in this room every Thursday, and I think that hearing what everyone individually took from the podcast and what they focused on is also just so mind-opening, because we've had discussions where someone will bring up an idea, I'm like, I didn't even realize that was talked about.
Stories always, they start one place, and they make their way to something else. So I feel like his tangents have taught me that it's okay to think outside of the box and to question something and to think of maybe this is an ethics issue or maybe this is a moral issue. And it allows me to question what he is saying and then bring something else into it, which is honestly an interesting way to learn anything. When I'm being taught something for human biology, I could think, okay, well, this is an ethical issue. Let me pull this and let me apply it and let me change it a little bit and try and understand deeper. So I think that those tangents are just very important to the whole episode.
A tangent story, but I don't necessarily need to do it on film.
I feel like it seems appropriate.
Really?
Yeah.
So when I was in high school, I took an AP English class, and our teacher, Joyce Huffaker, if she hears this, had us read a children's book called Toodles the Train. And I remembered that story as Toodles was not like the little engine that could, but it was a train that just really loved to get off the track and go out into the fields and explore all these other stuff. And you would always know at the end of the day, after Toodles had been trying to do his runs, that he'd been in the fields, because they would find flowers in his cow catchers. So when my son was born, I thought, he needs Toodles the Train, right? I want him to know that sometimes the best way to get there is not the most direct route. So I got a gigantic version of Toodles the Train, and I had him on my lap, and I was reading it, and I had misremembered the story. And the story is actually that Toodles gets off the track, and when he comes back with flowers in the cowcatcher, the rest of the trains shame him for having gotten off the track. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so completely remembered and honored and held this up as a signal text for exactly the opposite of what it was trying to say. But now for me, that's exactly what it's become. It's the sort of retelling of history that the tangent, the journey, the getting to the place is teaching your brain how to expand outward so that you can actually encompass the idea. It's about how do you expand the whole organism so that you can move into the idea, not just kind of in this linear train track way, arrive at junction X and then somehow there it is.
I feel like that even goes back to that point of ease. Like if Toodles the train followed the path the whole way, like that's ease. But you know, Toodles took a side path and a detour.
It's like if you follow the path, you're only going to know what other people already knew before you.
You'd never discover anything if you just
There's
did
no
everything
newness
that way.
On the track. Yeah, there is nothing new on the track.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much.
Everything comes full circle. Every week, everything comes.
That was, in order of vocal appearance,
Alex Weiss,
Violet Lamte,
Laura Aiken,
Professor
Brenda Weber,
Professor
Gardner Bovingdon,
and
Anushka Jha.
Thanks to the whole group for letting me record in their class.